Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Thank you for joining the Christian Worship Hour. In this televised message today from my dad, Pastor Salem, he speaks to the trials of life and the purpose for those trials. We often hear of the struggles and sorrow from our viewers. One letter from West Virginia reads, "I am currently incarcerated in a federal correctional institution. I hold on to Pastor Salem's words of Christ, always being willing and wanting you to come to him, even if you think you've gone too far. The new song that is mailed to me each month is such a blessing to myself and others that I share it with. Pastor's influence is inspiring to me." A letter from Iowa reads, "CWH and Pastor Salem have changed my life for the better. If it wasn't for cancer, I would not have found CWH. You helped me find my dear, sweet Savior again." The new song mentioned in the letter is our monthly devotional Bible study. If you would be interested in receiving this mailing, you may request it at cwh.org, call or write to us. We would be happy to send it your way. There is a purpose and a reason for every trial we face. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message titled, "Pure Gold in the Fire." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad now. Another week has gone by. The Lord has given us another week. Maybe this will be the week the Lord will come again. Who knows? We don't know the time, but He'll come. When He's ready, He'll come. But we're glad you could be with us, and we're going to be talking about pure gold in the fire. Do you ever have any troubles, have any trials? Well, just tune us in. Stay with us, because Peter talks about it, and God talks about how that there's a purpose and a reason for every trial we face, and it's going to give you hope, and it's going to give you help. But first, we want to look at Psalm 150, beginning with the first verse. "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and the harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the Lord, sound cymbals, praise Him with the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Heavenly Father, that's what we're doing. The best way we know how is to praise You, because You alone are worthy of praise. And You love us and You help us and You tell Your people You'd never leave us or forsake You. And we praise You for that. And so bless us, Lord, as we worship You today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And Jan has a beautiful song. You're going to love it. "Does Jesus Care?" And God bless you, Jan.
Dreary, I know.
Thank you, Jan. And doesn't that talk to your heart? You used to sing that in Sunday school, a little boy. Jesus loves me, and Jesus cares. And we're going to be talking about going through the fire, the trials of life, and how we're going to come out as pure gold. That's going to be our sermon for today. And in all of it, you can know Jesus cares. And he knows all about it. And he's touched with our infirmities. And when we hurt, he hurts. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Well, I want to thank you for writing. We get so many nice letters, and so we always pick out some. And I wish I could read them all, and then I wouldn't have any time to preach. Now somebody will write and say, why don't we try that sometime? Well, I vote against that because I've got a sermon. I got to unload it somewhere. And so we'll look at some of the letters. And by the way, we're going to be reading from James chapter 1. So if you want to locate it in your Bibles and be ready for that, James chapter 1. Our first letter comes from Crete, Illinois. Thank you for being my father's pastor. He was unable to go on Sundays to church. A Sunday is not complete without a message from the Lord through your program. May God continue to bless you and all of the people it reaches. And so this is a young lady. This is a lady writing about her dad, and now he's gone to be with the Lord. But we have so many people that cannot get out, and especially in the wintertime, but others that can't even get out at any time. And some are bedridden, and some just not able to navigate. And so we can have a worship service, and that we can do that all over the world, because there's some people in parts of the world it's hard to travel. They can't get to a church. Maybe there isn't even a church there. Maybe they're in an area where the Christians are in the minority. I guess everywhere the Christians are in the minority. And so you can have our worship service, which we always talk about Jesus, always preach the Bible. And we're so happy when we hear somebody when we've been able to minister to. Here's Casper, Wyoming. And listen to this letter. This lady writes, listen each Sunday. I'm old and feel so useless and so alone. Please pray for me. May this help some. So many need prayer. And you'd be surprised at the number of people that are lonely and they have their struggles all by themselves. But I can tell you something. God has a reason for you to be here. Because if your work was all done and he didn't have a reason for you to be here, he'd take you home. And that's why here I am almost 95 and I'm a slow worker and I don't catch on very slow. It's taken me a long time to get my work done. But if you're here, then God has a purpose for it. Well, you say, I can't get out to visit people. I can't travel. I'm alone here. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray. And there's more power in prayer than you're ever going to realize. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised at the power there is and was in prayer. And so what you do is make a list and put us on your list, Christian Worship Hour, and pray for the team and pray for our staff at our office and pray for all of those we have a prayer team that prays for us. And all the people that give, and maybe, if nobody gave anything, we couldn't go on. We couldn't carry on 2 weeks. We'd be broke and probably put in jail. So we don't want that to happen. And although St. Paul was in jail, and we hear from a lot of people in jail, so maybe we'll end up there. I don't know. But you need to help us. You need to stand by. And you can pray. And if you can't do anything else, you can pray. And you can write notes for people and just... just give praise to God. You're here for a reason. Here's a letter from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this is a sad letter. It says, please, I want to serve God and Jesus, but I have no money and no home, and I don't know what to do now. I'm very sorry for bothering God and Jesus and the world. And so here this poor dear lady writes, and she's sorry for bothering us. You're never a bother to God. His eye, his ear is always open. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And he has his eye open, his ear open to every child of God. and it isn't hopeless. And I've written to this person things they might do. Maybe you can go to the Salvation Army. Maybe you can find a church that loves the Lord and preaching the gospel, and just somehow to help this dear person. And Jesus knows all about it. And you're going, so you stay with us for the sermon today, because we're going to talk about troubles and trials in life and how God helps us through them. Here is Oregon City, Oregon. I have knowingly sinned. Does this mean the Holy Spirit will never enter me and save me, even though I prayed for salvation and trying to keep his covenant? Well, see here, this is from a man, by the way. And he's writing, and he's trying to get saved by works. And it isn't what we do. It's the trusting Jesus. And if whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, will not go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24, it's my favorite verse, because it gives us assurance that when you ask Jesus to save you, you're going to go to heaven. And you say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, you don't have to feel anything. Accepting Jesus Christ is a contract. It's a deal that you're making. He says, you ask me to save you and I'll save you. And so that's a contract. I'm asking you to save me, dear Lord, to come into my heart and take away my sins. And he says, if you do that, I will come in. He says in Revelation 3, verse 20, he says, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart, the door of your life. I'm knocking at your door. If any man open that door, I will come in. And I'll sup with him, fellowship with him, and he with me. So how do you ask Jesus to come in? Just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I've sinned against you. I ask you, just come in. Use your own words. Come into my life and save me from my sin. And I'll turn from my sin. I'll forsake him the best I can. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You just in your own way. I had a man not too long ago, and I prayed, and he prayed that prayer. And he didn't know any more about praying than he did flying to the moon. And he just asked Jesus to come into his heart and take away his sins. And I remember he said, and take away the sins I committed and the sins that the things I should have done and I didn't do. And I never even thought about that part of it, the sins of omission. And then when he was done, he said, goodbye. Didn't say amen, said goodbye. Fine, Lord knows what you're talking about. Don't get fancy. Just be yourself and come to Jesus. And if you do that, I'm going to give the address here in just a minute. And you can write to us and we'll send you literature and get you started on the Christian life. Then let me see. Here we've got another page of letters. And Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I see you on television every Saturday morning here in Philadelphia, and I love the way you preach to God's people. Please pray for me and my family. I have many problems in my home and with my teenage daughter. But I trust in God, and you reinforce through your preaching what I must do in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being in my life. God bless you in your ministry today and always. And so see here, here's a wonderful word of God. And it comes into her heart. I don't know this lady, and I won't know her till I get to heaven. Believe me, when I get to heaven, we're going to have a party. And I'm going to just get to see her. But the Holy Spirit takes the word of God, applies it to her heart. That's what it is. It's the living word of God. And it has power because the Holy Spirit is behind that word. That's why I know all over the world. I don't know where this thing is going, but I know it's covering most of the world. And I know shortwave radio covers 90% of the world's population. And everybody, you may not have a TV, but you have a shortwave radio. So you tune it in. And over that, the Lord knows your particular position. He knows exactly what you're up against. He knows what your problem is. And the Holy Spirit will use the word of God, and he'll talk to your heart. And you respond to Jesus and talk to Jesus and thank him and take him into your life. and your life will change. You'll become a new creation. Oh, it's glorious. It's so wonderful. Here's Goshen, Indiana. Says, please send me literature on people not sure of salvation. I never feel good enough. I am in your group, 92 years old. Hope you have a place I can get your program. And so he says, I never feel good enough. You know, none of us will ever feel good enough for heaven. It's Jesus. And we don't get in by works. You know, God tells us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth, his righteousness is given. So it's accepting Jesus. You cannot pay for it. You cannot work for it. After you're saved, then you'll go to work for the Lord. But don't put the cart before the horse. Don't work to be saved. You can't do it. You get saved and then you work. Like one old pastor said, oh, God doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. So you come just dirty as you are to Jesus. He'll clean you up and he'll make a new creation out of you. Oh, it's glorious. That wonderful gospel. Oh, look at here, Kawasaki City, Japan. Dear sirs, it is with great pleasure I report reception of your broadcast station, details of your programs, proving that I really heard your station. Program, the Christian Worship Hour. And then it's a religious talk by a male minister about the support for life by Jesus. See, there it is. He says your signal was strong. There was no interference. Therefore, I could receive your broadcasting in good condition. Please reply, signing the enclosed verification card. And so we filled out that verification card, and then we sent him about how to accept Jesus, what you need to pray to accept Jesus. And here's a man over in Japan, and we're praying when he gets that he'll pray that prayer and say, Dear Jesus, in Japanese probably, and say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sin, and I'll serve you the best I can. And I love you, Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. When you know Jesus, you'll love him. And I've known him for 85 years, and I love him more than I ever did before. Every day, he's sweeter than the day before. Oh, my. And one more, Portland, Oregon. This is a lady writes about her mother. Says, my mother listened to you without fail every Sunday morning till she passed away. Many Sundays, she and I would sit together in front of the TV at 9 a.m. to hear your service. When she finally had to move to the local nursing home, I would hear your message being broadcast as I walked down the halls. So many people in Wakefield Northeast listened to you, and it warmed my heart. So for all the people who have heard you and love you, I want to help keep your message throughout the country. You're a blessing to all those who are unable to attend church. May God bless you as you continue to spread his word. Isn't that a nice letter? And so that's why we have to hear from you, because we're not underwritten by any organization or any church or any denomination. It's just the gifts of God's people. So if you want to help us, you write to us, and it's the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is so easy. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're also on the internet. And you want to get us on the internet, you can. It's ChristianWorshipHour.com. And let me tell you something. You may be, got a letter from Germany not long ago. And they want to know how they can give some money to the Christian Worship Hour. And they don't know the address, and they don't know the postage, and they don't know if we can use their money, or they can use our money, or what in the world are we going to do? Well, you do this. You get on the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and on there it'll say donate. You punch that thing, or push it, or whatever you do with it. And then it'll say donation, and you put down whatever you want to give, whatever God lays on your heart. And we will get that in the United States currency and pay our bills. It's a miracle. We heard from Norway. We've heard from China. We've heard from the Bahamas. I don't know what all. And they can send a gift, and it's called PayPal. That's what it's called, PayPal. And so, you know, you pay and we'll be your pal. And if you don't pay, we'll still be your pal. But we'll be broke and we'll have trouble. So we need your help. And another thing we have is we have a little Bible study called The New Song, The New Song. And it's in this month of April, it is the pastor's prayer for you. What do I pray for you people? And I have a whole list of things. And maybe you'll like them, maybe you won't. But you won't never know until you get the little paper. And we send that all over the world. Doesn't matter where you are. Costs us extra postage, but you're worth it. And so you write to us, and there it is. You got it on the screen. A Christian Worship Hour. And to those of you with shortwave radio, you know, you get your pencil right now and write it down. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I want to say one other thing. And that is we have a little booklet, about 12 or 14 pages. And it tells of how to be saved. And it tells if you can know if you're saved. And it also says how that you cannot lose your salvation. Gives you assurance. And if you can send a donation for that, that's fine. If you can't, we'll send it free and postpaid. We get letters from prisoners, and they don't have any money. So we send it free and postpaid, but somebody else will help us. And so we'll get it paid some way or another. Again, just put down salvation, write salvation book, and we'll send it. So we just pray that you'll help us out that way. So now Jan's going to play, and you pray and ask God what he wants you to do, and everything will work out. God will provide. If he wants this to continue, he'll pay the way. If he doesn't, it'll dry up, and that's the way we want it. Because if he isn't in it, we don't want to be in it either. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts we've received now for almost 40 years. And thank you for all your people. So some of those, dear Lord, are in your presence. They entered to their reward already. But others are joining in and will help us and just help each one to give, Lord, so that we'll be no lack in the Lord's house. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. Always a blessing when we have Jan play for us. God bless her. We're reading from James chapter 1, if you'd like to locate that in your Bibles. And also in our prayer, we always pray for the believers in some country, and we're going to pray for the Christians in Lebanon. Lebanon, I know they're suffering, and so that's who we'll think about. But look at James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we are just thankful that you've blessed and helped us, and that you've told us that there's going to be trouble in this world. And dear Jesus, when you were here, you were persecuted. And if they persecuted you, why shouldn't they persecute us? The world is not a friend of yours. The world is not a friend of God. The world is a friend of the devil. And so we just are praying today that you'll help us to, when the hard times come, that we'll draw closer to you and that we'll shine for you in the midst of the darkness and in the midst of the troubles, and help us not to complain, but to rejoice, because we know that all things go work together for good to those who love the Lord. And we just rejoice that you'll always give us the strength. And you told us in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And no matter what the trouble and trial and the hardship might be, you give us the strength to overcome it and to live above it. Like the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, the fire didn't go out, but you helped them in the middle of the fire and brought them out alive. And you'll do the same with us. But then, Lord, some don't come out of the fire alive. Some are like our dear brothers in the Middle East. And we think of those in Lebanon who have been beheaded for you. And the fire came, and God, you let them die for you. And they were martyrs, and today they wear the martyr's crown. And won't they be shining like stars in glory, who gave their life for you in the cause of Christ? But we pray for those that are left behind. We don't pray for those who have died, because they are in your presence, and to be with the Lord is better than to be alive on this earth. For me, Paul says, to die is gain, and they've gained glory, and there they are. But to those left behind, the mothers, the widows, the grandparents, the little children, innocent little children, oh God, and we know you loved them. You took them in your arms and you said, they are your kingdom. All of those little children belong to you. They're part of your kingdom. And the devil can't touch them. He can maybe take their life, but he can't touch their soul. And so we pray for those people in Lebanon, that they'll know we love them, but you love them, and that everything is going to work out right. Your will is going to be done. And when we see it all over, we'll know it was right. So help us, Lord, to love you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is with us today. He's going to sing for us. It's My Belief. And God bless you, Hank.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor.
Highways are filled with people going nowhere, with no sense of purpose. What's worse, no one really cares. Children who need someone to lead and show the way. It's my belief that Jesus is the answer to all of our problems today. Airplanes are filled with people up in the sky, looking at computers to see if the stock market's high. Prideful living keeps us from giving what price we pay. It's my belief that Jesus is the answer to all of our problems today. Shopping malls are filled with people trying to find something in the window to satisfy their restless minds. Churches are troubled, people living double, and it's sad to see. It's my belief Jesus is the answer to all of our problems today. This world is filled with people who are empty inside. While they look for the answer, their life is just passing by. If they would just read the Bible, they could see as plain as day. And they would believe that Jesus is the answer to all of our problems today. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer.
Well, thank you, Hank, and we have to say amen to that because Jesus is the answer. And we're going to look at how we have trials, and we're going to come out pure gold in the fire. And it's because Jesus is the answer. And we'll never face anything in this life that Jesus hasn't faced and doesn't know all about. And he'll always help us or make a way of escape that we're able to bear it. But he will never leave us or forsake us. And yes, 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 Jesus is the answer. James opens his epistle by saying with these words, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And when you read that for the first time, you would think that's rather ridiculous to consider it joy to have troubles. Who wants troubles? But in the inspired Word of God, remember that, it's the inspired Word of God, it makes sense because when you consider the statement, let's look at it again. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, we're going to have trials in life. Really, they come on people of all ages. They come upon us because we're human beings. They come on the good people and they come on the bad people. The bad people have their troubles. They come on the righteous and they come on the unrighteous. And just as God makes the sun shine on the just and the unjust, so the troubles and trials come to all of us, of all shades and all people. The good and the bad both have accidents. They both get sick. They both have cancer. They both have disappointments. They both have tragedies in their life. It happens to people all over the world, everywhere, the troubles and trials of life. But having said that, let me hasten to say this. Christians suffer more than any others. They suffer the most. They have more battles. They have more struggles. They have more opposition. That's because we fight against Satan and his hosts. Satan torments the followers in his followers. And if you're a follower of Satan, you're having your troubles and your trials. But I'm going to tell you, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we suffer more than the world suffers. The devil likes to, makes his own people suffer. He loves that. But he especially attacks the Christian. And Warren Wiersbe says, "The believer who expects his Christian life to be easy is in for a shock, because the troubles and the trials and the temptations come to every Christian, and no one is excluded." Dr. Harry Ironside writes, and he says, "If one professes to have faith in the Lord, he can depend upon it that his profession will be put to the test sooner or later." And he goes on to say, "It is no evidence of God's displeasure when his people are called to pass through great trials, because it comes upon all of us who call our names as Christians." And just think of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect and lived the perfect life, and he was the Son of God, and he is God. And yet look at how he suffered, and Jesus says, "If they did that to your master, what will they do to the servant?" So that's coming, and Peter writes it. He talks about it too. John writes about it. And James writes about it. Peter writes about it. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Jesus never tricked his followers into thinking that being a Christian would be a bed of roses or a Sunday school picnic. In the world, he says in John 16:33, in the world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. And he says there's going to be a cross, and you need to be willing to take up your cross. And a cross isn't like a hammock that you lie in. A cross is which you die on and suffer in the most degraded way. And so St. Paul writes to the new converts, they're just accepting Jesus. And he says, you're going to have troubles. And he says in Exodus, in Acts 14, verse 22, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so battlegrounds are not playgrounds. And we are in a war with the devil. And to make it worse, the devil doesn't fight fair. He's strong and he's crafty and he never gives up. As a matter of fact, we cannot have victory over the Satan and the trials of life unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We can't do it, but the arm of flesh will fail us. We have to have Jesus Christ, and we have to have that wonderful Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And you remember that we're told in the book of Jude that Michael, the archangel of God, had a dispute with Satan over the body of Moses, and he couldn't prevail. He had to refer him to Jesus Christ. So he is powerful. We have a battle fight, and so we have to be sure that we have the Lord Jesus in our life and the Holy Spirit helping us, and we draw upon that power. And then James says, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. He's a coward, but it's got to be in Jesus' name. Don't use your name, because you're going to get smacked down good and proper, brother. You have to have Jesus and hide within Jesus. But now these trials and troubles of life have a definite purpose. There is a reason for these things to happen. They just don't happen because the devil uses them. But God makes them, and he uses them, has a purpose for these things. And so he tells us in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, he says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. The testing of your work worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. He says, consider it all joy, because there's going to come blessings out of this. It means the testing and the trials has an end to it. And the end to it is that we will come forth as pure gold, shining for Jesus, living for Jesus, stronger in Jesus, because we lean upon this wonderful Savior. And so these tests are giving to make us stronger, not to drive us down and to be sure we'll fail, but they're giving to make us stronger, to make us purer, to make us more like Jesus, to make us more God-like. And that's the purpose of the troubles and trials and testings and temptations of life. It is because he wants to make us stronger and better. You see it when a little bird tests its wings, and it's testing those wings, and they're testing them, and the tests are giving to make them stronger, not to see if the little bird's going to fail. God did it when he called Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar. He didn't do it to kill his son, but he did it to test the faith of Abraham and make his faith so strong that faith that Abraham believed that son died, he'd raise from the dead right there on the spot. It made him stronger, and he proved that in his life. And when the children of Israel came to the promised land, they just didn't walk in and make themselves to home. They had to have a battle, and they had to have a struggle, and they had to have a fight. They were tested to show, and then the enemy fell, and they had that promised land. An old divine named Hort one time said, the Christian must expect to be jostled by the trials on the Christian way. And F.B. Meyer, another great saint of his day, said, if there are no problems, no bumps, then I'm on the wrong road. So the Christian has to face disappointments and sorrows and trials and troubles and hardships and heartaches and sickness and loneliness and all of these things. Many of you shut-ins know what I'm talking about when I talk about the trials of life. You're going through them right now. But these trials and troubles can come not just to those on beds of sickness, but it can come to Christians. They laugh at you for being a Christian. They call you square. They call you you're out of step. You're taunted for not taking the drinks with them and going to the bars and hanging around those places. And you young people, you don't take the drugs so that you're a panty waist. So you're a sissy and you don't take the drugs. You're called old-fashioned. You're called behind the times. You're called puritanical and narrow. Oh, the trouble comes. The testing comes. And I remember when I accepted the Lord, 10 years old, and when it was time for me to go to high school, God sent a godly pastor, Paul E. Boomer. And I was in his young people's class, and the first thing he taught us was, you have to stand alone for Jesus. And he says, I'll tell you how what you do. You go to school, and you wear a little pin, a red pin. I can see it yet. And it says, J-I-M, Jim. And they'll say, Jim, Jim who? That stands for Jesus is mine. You tell that to high school kids and they want to die on the spot. The pressure's there. But I tell you, I wore my pin. It's the best thing I ever had because I learned to stand for the Lord. If I had to stand alone, I could stand alone. It made me stronger. And that's why these tests that come, you're tempted and tried, not so you lose your faith, not so you give up, not that you backslide or do like Demas. And St. Paul wrote to Demas, and he said sadly of this young man in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has left me, he said. He loved the good things of this life and went to Thessalonica. That's going to happen. Some who begin with the Lord won't take over the test. They'll be like Demas and they'll go back to the flesh and back to the world. They won't stand true. But instead of it disheartening us, we should do just the opposite. When the test comes, we should become more determined. We should be saying in our heart, I'm not going to forsake Christ and I'm not going to turn my back on him. By the grace of God, I'm going to go through it. And these trials and testings will come. Not to make us fail, but to make us fly. Not to make us weak, but to make us strong. Not to make us shrivel up, but to make us grow. And so we shouldn't complain because they make us stronger. They make us purer. They make us better. Actually, we ought to do like Paul said and like James said. Rejoice when the battle comes because you can win it. You can win, make a strike for the Lord and you can become a stronger person. That's what the athletes do, don't they? They have their testings. Why they get up, they do their lifting. They call it pumping iron. I don't know where they got that from, but that's what they call it. So I always call it that. I don't want to be a dumbbell. So I says, did you do some pumping iron? I don't know what it means. But it means that he's exercising, see? And they lift and they push and they pull and they prayer and they pray and they puff and they grunt and they ache. And why did they do it? Because they want to build up those muscles. They want to build up that stamina. And whatever they wanted to build up, they build up. And it is a battle. And they're making them as strong so they can win in the race of life, in the race they're playing. And that's why we have as Christians, they come to us. And when we, every time we stand strong for the Lord and true for the Lord, we are strong and we'll make it, live it. We sing the old song we used to sing, I remember in Sunday school, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Every victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus and he'll carry you through. We used to sing that. We used to sing, shun evil compassions, bad language disdain, God's name hold in reverence nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. To him that o'ercometh, God giveth the crown. Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. And then we says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to help you. He will carry you through. Oh, there's a purpose. And so God wants to build up our character. He wants to build up our faith, our behavior, our love. You are being fitted for some service, some battle. And you've got to train. You got to go through your training camp. You got to go through boot camp. And then he'll prepare you for the battles. And so Job talked about this. Way back at the dawn of human history, Job said, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That's what he's saying. Peter said the same thing. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. And things, trials will work for our good because we're told, oh, yes, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And again, St. Paul said, "For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." And so the testing comes and the trials come, and we lean on Jesus and we trust in him and we love him. In all of these troubles and trials, then we become mature and it makes us complete. And so we're told in the scriptures that we never can be a veteran without being in the battle. And we can't ever have those muscles of faith unless we use those muscles of faith. And we can't withstand the things of life, the tough things of life, unless we start out with the littler things. And that's what God does. He gives us a little and a little more and a little more. And then all of a sudden, well, there we are in the middle of the battle, carrying on the battle for Christ. What a glorious God we have. So how do we know how to handle these troubles then? How are we going to get by when we have these setbacks and they all beset us? Paul, James tells us. He tells us in verses 5-8 how you handle the trials of life. This is what he says. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." And so James is telling us, we have to just be sure that we give ourselves to the Lord and ask for wisdom on how to handle the problems of life. And God will help us. He'll show us a way. And don't give up whatever you do. It's always too soon to give up, but always stand at your post. And I'm going to tell you something from experience, dear friends. Sometimes I've been into some struggles and I failed. And every time I failed in those struggles, it's because I took my eyes off of Jesus. You have to do like St. Paul said, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark." He says, all of the things of the past, put it behind you and look to Jesus. And you know, that's what Peter did, didn't he? You remember the story? They were in this storm. They thought they were all alone. They didn't think Jesus was anything near. And they thought that he was out on the mountain praying. And all of a sudden they see him. And he's in the middle of the battle with them. He's never far away. Sometimes people say, "I don't think Jesus ever hears my prayers." Oh, he hears them all the time. He's there. And so then Peter says to Jesus, "Oh, let me walk on the water to you." And I remember we had a little book and the ship was there and Peter was sinking right by the ship. Now, I don't think that was a good picture, because you know what I think? I think he walked on that water maybe half a block. He walked on that water. And then he saw some waves, saw the wind. He took his eyes off Jesus. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink and go, see? And when we take our eyes, I know every time I failed the Lord because I took my eyes off of him, I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus. And how do you keep your eyes on Jesus? You have to be in that word. You have to read that Bible every day, every day. And be careful when you're reading. Sometimes I'm reading and I'm thinking about something else. And I have to read that over, that portion over. It's a good thing to read it and then write down, what does it say here, see? And so when you write it, you read that Bible and pray. and get into church if you can. Now, I know you have shut-ins. You can't do it. That's fine. Get a friend and talk to your friend. Talk to your spouse. If you don't have a spouse, get a friend and talk to them. Talk about the Bible. Read about the Bible and pray. And make it a practice to pray and pray for other people and pray that you'll help, that God will help you to bring people to the Lord and to serve other people and to help other people, because they're going through the storm. They're going through the battle. They don't know what to do and which way to turn. So just give yourself to the Lord Jesus. And you have to be intentional about it. It has to be a constant thing. When you leave the Word of God out, you're going to start to get weak. You're going to start to drift. You have to have that Bible every day. Read that Bible and pray for, have a prayer list for other people and get to do. And if you're able-bodied, get into the service of Christ. Do some things for the Lord, and then you'll find it's true. When the battles come and the struggles come, you'll be able to handle them. You'll be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And when they come, you'll be strong in Christ, and you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But never lean on your own strength and your own arm of flesh. It's going to fail you every time. And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And when you get to thinking you're so great that you can, that he won't tempt you, you're in big trouble. Because the devil is no, he'll tempt anybody. He even tempted the Son of God. So do you suppose he's afraid to tempt you? You're so strong, he wouldn't come to you. You'll be the first one he'll come to if you're proud. We need to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord and lean on the Lord and draw on the Lord and stay with God's people and stay with God's book and stay in the service of the Lord. And then you can say, all these things, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into temptation, when you fall into these trials, because I'm going to come forth as pure gold. I'm going to come out strong, and I'm going to stand in the time of trouble. And we've seen these dear men who were beheaded, and the last words they said in Arabic was, Jesus is Lord. They came through the battle. They were strong because they'd had troubles and trials and testing, and when the time came to butcher them, to cut off their heads, they never wavered and they never whimpered, but they gave their life to Christ. And all of the Christians standing there rejoiced that they were faithful unto death, and their faith grew. So, my friends, you need to have Jesus first of all, and don't think it's a Sunday school picnic and you're going to have good health and your good job and all that kind of teaching. That isn't in the Bible. That's somebody's thoughts. You have to have Jesus. You have to pray and say, Dear Jesus, I need you. I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart. Take away my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. And please take away my sin, and I'll serve you the best I can. And then you get ready for the battle, because Jesus will come into your heart, and you'll be a marked person. The devil will see it. It'll make him mad, because you belong to the devil until you come to Jesus. You can't be the devil's and Jesus both. You're one or the other, and you come to Jesus. And then the devil will come with the troubles and the trials. And you get ready for battle and win the battle. And if you've accepted Jesus, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. I hope you'll write. We'll send you literature to help you along the way. And I hope you support us and help us, because as James says, you have not because you ask not. So we're telling you, we have some needs and you can help us with that. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all of these people all over the world that we've been visiting with and worshiping with. And we've been right at the throne of grace, and we've just been at your very feet worshiping you. And I thank you for all of those that have prayed to receive you and are praying right now to receive you into their life and give them the joy of their salvation and help them to know that they belong to you and they're safe. And help them write, and we can send it to them. Dear Lord, Help those on beds of sickness, those who are lonely, those who are struggling. Help them be victorious in their battles and make them strong through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, what a joy it is to be in your service. We can all be in your service, every one of us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be thinking about you now. We'll be praying for you and you pray for us. Remember, God loves you. Jesus loves you. Wants you to come to him. And we love you. We just pray that there were every one of you that the Holy Spirit has talked to. You just knew you should have Jesus. You make that prayer. Then you write to us and we'll send you some literature. And so we'll do that. We'll be thinking about you this week. Next week, Lord willing, we'll all be back again, worshiping the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.